Welcome to the 92nd episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Bruce Hulbert, author of the novel Lonesome Animals. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Bruce Hulbert, author of the new novel Lonesome Animals. Lonesome Animals has been described as cowboy noir. Bruce, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. If the listeners haven't heard about Lonesome Animals yet, how would you describe the novel?
Well, it's been described in lots of different ways. It's been described as a literary novel, as a thriller, as a crime novel, as a Western noir. I would say that it's a novel about the sort of spin-off of the Western mythology. That's always seems to seep into my writing. It's always something that's interested in me, that the Western myth is pretty dysfunctional. And I ended up playing with how that plays out within a family and within a character who's at the beginning of his life is rewarded for following the myth, and at the end he's a monster because of it.
Sure. And what is it about the mythology of the West that kind of appeals to you and that informs your writing of Lonesome Animals?
Well, probably it's dysfunction. It's you've got a lot of people living by a set of rules that are 100 years old and don't really work anymore. And, we don't ask what Jesus would do. We ask what Hank Williams did. And what happens is, we end up following the myth and getting arrested or getting in situations that are violent and that we don't need to. But that story is so strong in our psyches that we don't know any way around it.
Sure. Well, when some readers hear the phrase literature of the West, they automatically think of kind of the traditional paperback Western novel, maybe a Louis L'Amour novel,
right,
with lots of gunfights. How would you argue against that popular image of Westerns, or would you?
I don't have any trouble with those kinds of books as long as they're read as either of a time past or fantasies. But the trouble is that, I'm a high school teacher, and, I'd say at least 2/3 of my male students are walking around acting like Clint Eastwood and don't even know it.
And do you think that the Western right now is kind of a dying genre, in your opinion?
No. I mean, every time somebody pronounces the Western dead, somebody does something with it that reinvigorates it. I mean, I didn't set out to write a Western. It ended up that way. But, it's a strong part of the psyche. I think it's going through the same evolution that every myth does. You know, my guess is the Iliad, 100 years after the War of Troy, was a bunch of scattered stories too that maybe people thought were going to be dead.
Sure. What initially drew you to writing fiction?
I don't know. Somebody told me I was good at it, I think. Like in the fourth grade. And I just had always considered myself a writer since then, and I became interested in fiction as a, I mean, I don't come from a background that's anything near academic, so I became interested in fiction as just a way of expressing myself in a culture that really wasn't interested in men expressing themselves too often, except for, you know, driving cars and fast and into telephone poles.
Given your experiences to date writing fiction, what tips or advice would you offer for aspiring writers who want to write and publish novels or short stories?
Well, one of the things I would say is, for me, I'm a high school teacher. I've got three kids that, you know, I devote a lot of time to. I have a wife that, you know, I love, and we spend a lot of time together. For me, it's you have to know your process. You know, people will say, well, I work this and this and this, or I work with music on, or I work with no music, or I don't need any sound, I don't want any sound, or I only work in a certain place. And all that stuff is fine, but you need to know how you work. Because if you work like other people work, and if it's not natural for you, then you can't slip into it easily. So for me, because I have a fairly busy life, but I know my process, I can get some work done in a short period of time and remain connected to the book that I'm working on. But I would say that's the most important thing, is know who you are, know what works for you. And, the advice I always give to my students is, you know, I think Hemingway's advice of write one good sentence and then try to write another.
Sure. And what, I'm just curious, given your answer, what is your process? Do you write every day, or how does that usually work for
you? I tend to spend a lot of time writing in summer, because I'm a teacher, and usually the momentum of that carries me into maybe January or February. And then from January and February, unless I've got a project that has a deadline, that's usually when I charge my batteries again until late spring. As far as writing, I write when I have time. I usually write during the school year. I write in the evening. Sometimes I'll sit with the kids if they're watching a television show or playing a game or something. I'll sit and noodle around and edit a little bit while we're playing a game. So it's just kind of wedging things in there. But my process is, and part of the process has to do with how you approach putting something together. Like I have one friend, Max Phillips, who outlines everything. And for him, it's perfect because it fits his personality. He's a very sort of organized, rigid guy. And for me, I could never do that. I count on not knowing what's going to happen, so that it creates a kind of spontaneity.
Sure.
So it just depends on, you know, what you're writing from, you know, what you have to write about.
Right. What books, fiction or nonfiction, have you read in the past year or two that made an impact on you and that you might recommend?
Well, Dennis Johnson's Train Dreams is great. And Dennis Johnson's Jesus' Son is a great book too. I read Train Dreams this year, and I read Jesus' Son, you know, almost once a year. And Blood Meridian is, you know, Cormac McCarthy's real piece of genius, I think. And that's something I go back to. Let's see, as far as, I'm hard put. I read some nonfiction. Actually, there's a book. It's a kind of a book on criticism, but it's how fiction works, and it's by James Wood, the critic. And I found that incredibly enlightening on really fundamental questions that I'd always sort of, you know, people had said, well, you do it this way, but that's only because they do it this way. I think that's a great book. I think Francine Prose's book on writing is a great book.
Great. Well, what are you working on now? What are you writing?
I just finished a draft of another story that takes place, well, it takes place over a 70-year time period. And some of it takes place in the same general region as Lonesome Animals does. but it's more of a romance. It's it's not a romance in the grocery store novel kind of romance, but it's you have two characters who come together and then are apart for much of the novel, and then in the end work their way back into each other's lives.
Great. Well, where can people find you online?
BruceHolbertBooks.com.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Bruce Holbert, author of the new novel, Lonesome Animals. Lonesome Animals is available in bookstores now, and you should check it out. Bruce, thanks for doing this interview.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.